With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. In about 18 minutes from now, we will unveil our Halloween costumes. It's our annual spooktacular episode here on the DA Show. The great Katie Linedahl, the hero of Halloween, the gadget of gadgets, costume extraordinaire. Katie's going to join us in studio 1 hour from now. We will unveil, though, our outfits, our costumes, coming up in about 15 minutes. Our next guest is a multi-time Pro Bowler. He is a Super Bowl champion as well. He's a member of the Florida Georgia Hall of Fame, and this is a good week to talk to him about that because the world's largest outdoor cocktail party has its newest installment coming up on Saturday. And he's a member of the CBS Sports Network, and you can see him on college football halftime shows on the CBS Sports Network, as well as Inside College Football and This Week in the SEC. This week on CBS is Florida and Georgia, Saturday, 3:30 Eastern Time on the CBS Sports Network. Northern Illinois, Central Michigan, Army at Air Force, Cincinnati at ECU, and Boise State at San Jose State. Joining us, Kevin Carter here on the show. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I wonder when it is Florida-Georgia week, is there just a little something that bubbles through Kevin Carter's pulse or veins this week?
You know, wonderful memories actually flood my memory, flood my brain just from those days. Great, great time. Historic game for college football, for the SEC, for both programs. And I'm glad that you referred to it as the largest outdoor cocktail party. I don't know why we stopped calling it that. And I know that, you know, my producer may be listening and like, we can't call it that anymore. And I'm like, why not? Okay, so I played in it. And when I played in it, it was the largest outdoor cocktail party. It was one of those games that Coach Spurrier told us, you know, if we won and if we played well, then he allowed us to stay over. We didn't have to go back on the bus. We could go out to the landing and party with our classmates and enjoy the win. And, you know, look, three out of 4 years, I was winning an SEC title when I was at Florida. So those games are a good memory because we came out on top of those matchups. So it's a great time. It's a great thing for college football, and I'm honored to be a part of the Florida-Georgia Hall of Fame as well. That's such a great thing. I mean, that's when you become a Gator or you become a Bulldog, you know, there's so many memories and so many radio broadcasts. And, you know, Lindsey Scott. I mean, there's memories that come back, and it's such a pageanted game in college football. And it's in the South, man, you know all about it. So really, really great game, great matchup for both teams this year.
That's coming up 3:30 Eastern time on CBS. So you were born in Miami, and then you went to high school in Tallahassee. So I'm sure there was some draw to play for the Hurricanes of the 90s or Bobby Bowden's Seminoles of the 90s, and you decided on the Gators. How did you come to that conclusion?
A man named Steve Spurrier came to my living room and convinced me otherwise. So, and you're right. I mean, in those days, you know, Florida, Florida State, and Miami were, you know, top 10 in the country. You know, Florida kind of being on the lower end of things, kind of coming off of probation of the late 80s. But Florida had great players. You know, they still had the Emmitt Smiths and the Hugh Richardsons and the people who were, you know, first rounders they were putting out year in, year out, the Ernie Mills of the world. I mean, they had players, but they had some issues with their program. But, you know, that in itself, for me, was a huge decision that really changed my life. Both coaches at the time, everyone recruited me, and, you know, I had friends that were, I had guys like Warren Sapp and James Stewart, you know, that were heading down to Miami. I had friends like Derek Brooks and Devin Bush and Derek Alexander, who were all heading to Florida State. You know, we all played together on the same Florida-Georgia All-Star team out of high school. And to see all that talent, you know, going to different places, it was really cool. But for me personally, I had to go where my heart led. And, you know, the best combination of the best education that I could get and the type of football that I wanted to play. You know, I was a huge Georgia Bulldog fan as a kid growing up. Mm. I loved Herschel Walker. Mm. I loved everything Georgia Bulldogs. I had a huge poster of Herschel Walker on the back of my bedroom door. And I worshipped Ben Dooley. I thought he walked on water, and I wanted to go be a Georgia Bulldog. And so I loved SEC football, and I think that was the biggest thing. But, you know, when I came out of high school, Ben Dooley had just stepped down and became the AD, and Ray Goff took over. And I didn't feel the same way necessarily about him as I did about Ben Dooley. And, you know, so like I said, Steve Spurrier, he made the difference. And his confidence, the way he lived his life, the way he treated his family, and the confidence that he had. Some people mistake it for arrogance at the time, but it was just confidence. And he empowered young men, and he held us accountable to a higher standard of conduct. And, you know, he made good men as well, and we did it the right way, and we beat the crap out of a lot of people.
So, yeah, I would say. Yeah.
Those are great days.
Kevin Carter joins us this morning on the show from the CBS Sports Network. Two of those programs are real down right now, Miami and Florida State. Out of those two situations, what's more alarming that they can't get it on track?
What's more alarming is the inability to basically have their players go out and play inspired football. It's inconsistent, you know, the effort. And to have as much talent as both programs have, you know, it's not necessarily the kids' fault, and it's not necessarily all the coaches' fault. It's basically the synergy that they have or don't have. I think it's discouraging for those players at those programs because they expect so much more. You know, when you go to a school like that with a long storied history and there's 30 for 30s on you and everything else, you expect to be better. You expect to be part of something great. And to have both those programs in transition with the coaching, with the continuity, with the players, I mean, coaches have to get on the same page with each other. They have to recruit the type of players they need to fuel and facilitate the X's and O's that they do. And then you've got to be able to teach those kids to all buy in and play together and evolve. You know, that process, they're just so far back. But in the meantime, you have programs like UCF that's on the rise. You had USF for a little while that was on the rise. You know, those things are an issue. You know, players, the world is shrinking, and players are leaving the state of Florida to go to other places. So those two programs necessarily aren't getting the top guys anymore in the state of Florida, and that's another issue. So it kind of sets you back. And until they can find some continuity at the coaching position between the coaches and players and get on the same page, it's going to be a while before these two programs, you know, historically proud programs, rebound.
CBS Sports Network's Kevin Carter joining us this morning on the show. Two would-be college football playoff teams handed losses from unranked teams this month. Oklahoma just lost to K-State this past weekend. Georgia had lost at home to South Carolina. Out of those two would-be playoff teams, which was the worst loss?
I think the worst loss was Oklahoma to Kansas State. Oklahoma, you know, and I've never been a huge fan of Big 12 defense. You know, I talk about it. kind of joke about it sometimes and mockingly. But defense is different in the Big 12. The offenses, you know, typically are high-flying, and it's, you know, more passing conscious, and just, you know, that they produce some of the greatest quarterbacks and receivers and everything else. But it's just a different style of football. You know, it's more pistol, shotgun, like I said, high-flying. But this year, Oklahoma was playing good defense. You know, they climbed in terms of total defensive numbers nationally from 45, 46, you know, 50 or better. They were number 26 in terms of total defense numbers going into that matchup with Kansas State. They were the one Big 12 team that I thought was kind of dangerous, kind of lethal, because, you know, we saw Oklahoma get into the college football playoff each of the last 2 years with a Heisman Trophy winner and Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. And their defenses were ranked 105, 118, you know, in the country. And we talked about them, but it did not get exposed until they got to the college football playoff. See, they still had enough firepower on offense. And what Lincoln Riley's been able to do in that air raid offense, you know, it doesn't, like I said, you've had two, you know, crazy number having Heisman Trophy winners, you know, before, and Jalen Hurts was following suit with this with a better defense. So to have that type of a hiccup, and every team has it, okay, it's that time of year. Football hurts, okay, and it really starts to hurt when, you know, you've been playing it for a while and the leaves are starting to change and it's getting a little cold outside and you got midterms coming up and, you know, your parents are talking about, you know, Thanksgiving and you're thinking about Christmas and, you know, you really get challenged on how much you love the game this time of the year. So everyone is having that hiccup. Every team is having that uncharacteristic performance where they turn the ball over too much, like Georgia did or whatever, everyone. But what you hope is that it's not enough for you to have a painful loss and take you off of that track to possibly be in the college football playoff discussion. Well, that's what we saw with Oklahoma. I mean, to me, that dashed their hopes. I mean, how can you lose to an unranked opponent at this time of the year? You're supposed to be trending up and getting better. You look at a team like an LSU, and LSU is getting better. They're gaining momentum down the stretch of the season, and they're playing their best football. And Alabama, even though they don't have Tua Tagovailoa, you know, Mac Jones came out, had a decent performance, and, you know, we're going to find out just how much they're involved at every position as well. Florida, you know, after a painful loss without two of their best defensive players to LSU, they go on the road to Columbia, to South Carolina, an emotionally charged Gamecocks team, and they go in and beat them in the rain. You know, the teams that are trending in the right direction, teams like Michigan, you know, Michigan, last four games, you know, last five games now, their defense hasn't allowed 300 total yards, you know, less than 300 total yards for the game. They're balling. You know, Zach Charbonnet's running the ball. They found their running game. You know, teams are trending in the right way. And like the two teams you mentioned, you know, that's the most shocking loss, because I thought that Oklahoma was really going to carry the torch as being the lone unbeaten Big 12 team that had a good chance of getting in. Them losing opens the door for Baylor, of course, in the Big 12, but it opens the door for a one-loss Oregon team. Lost the first week of the season to Auburn, and they've been getting better and better, and they haven't lost since. So, interesting.
Definitely. Kevin Carter joining us this morning on the show. 14 years of the NFL, including a Super Bowl championship, multi-time Pro Bowler, part of the Inside College Football gang, and this week in the SEC football. This weekend, two different ranked teams are on the CBS Sports Network. Number 17, Cincinnati's at ECU. Boise State's at number 21. They travel to San Jose State. And then on CBS, it's Georgia and Florida at 3:30 Eastern time. Kevin, this was awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Anytime. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. Kevin Carter joining us this morning on the show. Great stuff. Great thorough stuff from Kevin Carter. Awesome. When we come back here on the show, I know that Andy Dalton is not a Hall of Famer. I get it. He's a punchline. But he's also being scapegoated. I'll discuss that coming up here next. And we will unveil our Halloween costumes. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
What we're doing.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And coming up, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader as the Colts try to silence the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Tennessee clashes with Carolina, followed by Rodgers. The Packers headed out west to battle the Chargers. It all begins with JB and the guys on the NFL Today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Thanks so much for being with us. It's a fine Wednesday morning around here, everybody. It's a Halloween spooktacular, and we're glad that you have us here on your radio airwaves, on your phone, or you're watching at watchda.com. Coming up next hour here on the show, we've got our very own Gidget of Gadgets, Katie Linedahl, who's going to join us, and she always has the most amazing outfits ever, the most amazing costumes ever. So Katie's going to be in studio with us coming up in about 40 minutes from now. If you are watching at watchda.com, that is free, available on any device, anywhere. You can watch us on your phone, on your tablet, on your PC, on your desktop, or on your smart TV. So similarly, cue us up at watchda.com, and you can watch the Halloween Spooktacular on any of those devices. I believe the Cincinnati Bengals are scapegoating Andy Dalton. They are benching Dalton for young Ryan Finley. They're 0-8. Could you imagine being Andy Dalton and looking at your coach, who's a train wreck, no A.J. Green, offensive line's terrible, defense is a sieve, no talent on the depth chart, being 0-8, the organization's a total mess, and being blamed and being the one benched? You got to be kidding me. Look, I get being 0-8 to a certain degree and wanted to see what you have at quarterback with Ryan Finley because you will end up drafting in the top two or three. Could you imagine going 1-15 and not having the number one pick because the Dolphins are 0-16? Could you imagine 2-1-15s? 3-1-15s with Washington? That's where we're at this year. But for the Bengals, let's just remember that they've gone to the playoffs with Andy Dalton. And sometimes circumstances dictate whether you're going to be a good quarterback or not. And the circumstances in Cincinnati are so bad, so ugly, that while Andy Dalton is nobody's version of a Hall of Famer, Dalton is better than other starting quarterbacks in the NFL. That much is obvious. And I got to think, if Tom Brady retired at the end of this season, and Bill Belichick signed Andy Dalton, they're still winning the AFC East. I bet you that Bill Belichick gets 12 wins out of Andy Dalton, at least 10 or 11. And instead, he's getting benched for Ryan Finley, a fourth rounder. Ryan Finley, is he really your guy of the future? Ryan Finley? I mean, if you've got a chance to draft a number one, two, or three quarterback in the draft, you got to do it even if you have Ryan Finley on the roster. So I believe Dalton is being scapegoated. It's our Halloween spooktacular episode of the DA Show. If you are watching at watchda.com, you are checking out my costume right now, and I am donning suit jacket, a cool wig, round black rimmed glasses, a Carolina Panthers shirt, and a babushka. Yes, as you might imagine by now, I am Cam Newton in his post-Tampa Bay Buccaneers press conference. I've got the glasses, I've got the babushka, I've got the hair, I've got the suit, I've got it all. Top that, boys. Let's start with Andrew Bogish, who is coming into the studios right now. Pump the music, boys. Bogish is walking in with what appears to be swim goggles on. It looks like he's on a cell phone of some sort. He also looks like a some type of badge.
If my wingmen, Adam Sean and Andrew Catalan, were here, I think you'd know what I'm doing better. I am you, circa 1990-whatever, at a Syracuse bar, trying to get some upstate New York girls' attention with my swim goggles and my phone. I even have the beginnings of this, your catchphrase, can I beam you up, ladies,
uh-huh.
on my little ID tag here. I have my Syracuse colors on, navy, blue, and orange.
Ah, okay.
I did attempt and fail to mimic your world-famous teeth. I thought vampire teeth were not really representative of you.
Yeah.
I tried to jam chiclets on my teeth.
Okay.
That didn't work either. So just assume I got extra gel in my hair. I tried to do my best DA impersonation. On the heels of being PDB last year, I am 20-something you, desperate for a girl's attention in a Syracuse University bar.
Now, this story has taken on a life of its own, and it's kind of been twisted because this was told in a PGP, I believe, months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gideon Cohen's calling me. Hold on one second.
And in college, I once brought a cordless phone to the bars. It was not at the same time I was wearing the swim goggles. I had worn the swim goggles, I think, at an earlier party.
Yeah, well, it was an amalgamation of all of your attempts.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And it was a prop at the party, a prop at the bar, rather, to bring this cordless phone out and to put it in people's face and say, oh, it's for you. And then it's kind of the gag. Everybody picks it up, and it's obviously not for them because I'm well out of the range of my cordless.
Sure.
And people got a good laugh out of it. It was a good talk topic. It was a good conversation starter. Not necessarily to hit on chicks, but I do enjoy.
That'd be the bonus.
I do enjoy that you are now kind of digging up ways to be all the staff members here on the DA show from different versions of their life.
Yeah, Kaplan's next, so look out for 2020.
Okay. So, Bogish is 21-year-old me at a bar in Syracuse. Enter Sean Mraz. Mraz is wearing an exclamation point on his head?
That's a debatable topic for later on, but focus on this shirt.
Okay. He's got a piece of paper that's draped around his neck that says the URL mymail.com. Attention staff, this is your final reminder. If I do not receive your vacation request by Memorial Day, you will be bumped to the bottom of the priority list. Do not test me. So this is from Pete the Body Bilotti. And so, Mraz, what exactly is your costume?
I came as an urgent email from Pete the Body Bilotti to the entire staff. So that is the exclamation point that he always sends to make sure it's urgent, and it's his bossiness on an email. I came, I figured Katie Lindell's the tech gadget. I came as an email today.
You aren't an email.
I am an email. I am an email sent by Pete the Body Bilotti to the entire staff at CBS Sports Radio.
Now, don't you remember not long ago you were clowning me for being the keyboard mouse?
Sure. Yes.
You think that your urgent email is better?
Well, I think the standard's already been set that we could send the keyboard mouse. But yeah, I figured I had another big-time costume at home, but I said, I don't know if that's going to make sense because it's more of a couple's costume. I said, I want to get creative this year. And how could I be creative? Well, the talk of the newsroom has been Pete the Body Bilotti's emails, so why not be one for Halloween?
Mraz is an urgent email from Pete the Body Bilotti. Bogish is me, circa 2001.
And I can't look at you. With that hair.
You even held your glasses tighter to read Sean's email. True grandma fashion.
I am Cam Newton in the babushka. And we have Sam Rubinoff on the other side of the glass filling in for Pete the Body Bilotti today. And he is dressed as an ER nurse?
Doctor.
Doctor?
I went doctor. Just had to throw in what I had around the apartment.
Kind of a clowny, a Clooney rather, a George Clooney ER version.
That's what he should have said he was. George Clooney
exactly
in ER.
Perfect. Yeah. You should have just introduced me and I'll turn my mic off.
All right. So our costumes are here and delivered. We'll see the Gidget of Gadgets, Katie Lindahl, who's going to join us in studio coming up in about a half hour from now. None of these costumes are comfortable. This wig is very itchy. You've got a weird thing taped around your forehead.
Yeah, there's
right
a lot
now.
Of tape and oak tag all over my head.
Sam, we're at a 50-50 clip right now. Some see exclamation point. Others see like Native American like flower headdress Thanksgiving theme.
I didn't want to go there.
That's what I saw.
All right. I mean, look, the color is red on the exclamation point when he sends them.
But exclamation points are straight up and down. Your thing goes out, which makes it look
like I wasn't great. It took me an hour last night, arts and crafts. I'm clipping stuff. I'm not helping my wife with anything. I had to put together this costume properly. Took me four tries to get this size right.
Just my head. What is your couple's costume?
I am going as a bottle of sriracha. My wife with the baby bump is an avocado, and the dog is a taco. So that is the family unit here.
Well, Jimmy Johnson would love your dog.
Some taco.
All right, when we come back here on the show, we'll do your sound check, your best audio of the day, and that includes the Jets trying to explain the mess that they're in right now. Katie Linadal, with her costume, comes into the top of the hour. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Hey, good morning, DA. First off, I want to say I'm really loving you on Instagram. Loving your posts.
We've had some Twitter affairs here and there.
And videotaping on YouTube and Facebook.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I'll be posting plenty of pictures and videos from today's Halloween Spooktacular episode on Instagram. So follow me there and check out my IG stories there. That would be at Damon Amendo. On Instagram, at Damon Amendo. Our toll-free line, 55-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all, geico.com. Art Bobart tweets, DA, awesome costume, hashtag Cam Newton. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, DA, the Cam Mam Newton get up is a strong move, hashtag Mrs. Doubtfire. You know, earlier in the season, after the Buccaneers had beaten the Panthers in that Week 2 Thursday night, Cam Newton dressed up in a babushka to do his post-game press conference, and we clowned him all morning. Remember he talked about his mortality in football? He'd have to step away and think about his career. And it was the most salient, the most introspective moment of Cam Newton's career. And it happened with him wearing a babushka. His hair was up. His black rim glasses were on. And he had a babushka on. And I said, I love what Cam Newton is saying, but I can't take a guy seriously that wears a babushka. He looks like my grandma going to church. And I said, a guy that wears a babushka is never going to win a Super Bowl. It just ain't going to happen. And I hate to say it, but you can't wear a babushka and then lead your guys to a championship. So we threw this out there as the loser of the Meraz Super Dave football picks bet that the loser would have to go to a game dressed as Cam Newton, who looked like Mrs. Doubtfire. The Cam Newton Mrs. Doubtfire costume. It was declined. That did not end up being the bet. And so I said, you know what? I'm taking it upon myself. I'm going to do the Cam Newton Mrs. Doubtfire outfit. It got a little awkward when I asked the Bourbon Bell, do you have a babushka I can borrow? However, I have made it work. So here is my Panthers t-shirt that says Drip Squad. Here is my suit jacket that he wore to his press conference. Here is my hair and my babushka and my glasses, and I'm here to be Mrs. Doubtfire as Cam Newton or vice versa. You can check it all out at watchda.com. Also, videos will be posted on all of our social media channels, including YouTube. You can watch the best of the show every single day on YouTube. Let us get to your best audio of the day as Katie Linadal scheduled to join us coming up at the top of the hour.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We start with Kyler Murray as the Cardinals will host the 49ers tomorrow night on Halloween night. This is Kyler Murray's first Thursday night game.
This should be fun. I mean, you know, wearing all black, you know, Thursday night, real first, you know, primetime game for us. Just really trying to go out there and, you know, obviously put on a show and, you know, protect home.
Yeah, they're going to get stomped. That Niners team is better coached, more talented, dominant defense, better all around. Kyler's had some moments this year. He has. The Cardinals have had their moments, and I thought that Cliff Kingsbury was going to be a train wreck in the NFL. It has not been a train wreck. It hasn't been great, but they've won some games maybe they didn't deserve to win. They tied a game they probably didn't deserve to tie. I can't think that you would say that the Cardinals are underachieving, so overall I think Kingsbury has shown that he's been able to get something out of Kyler Murray, have an exciting offense at times, cobble together some wins. They're 3-4-1 on the season. I would say that that's so far an accomplishment, but tomorrow night the Niners are going to come in and beat them by double digits. Joe Douglas, the New York Jets general manager, shopped Jamal Adams as well as shopped other players of the team, but did not trade Jamal Adams.
He's the heartbeat of this team and this defense, and he's got the exact mentality. And I've told him from the beginning, from my first day here, I mean, he's a mission statement guy. He's a guy that, when you talk about the traits you're looking for, that's Jamal.
Oh, God. I mean, how hollow does that sound? He's a mission statement guy. He's the heart and soul of the team. I mean, we had him on the trade block, but he's who we all want to follow. He's who the identity of the Jets needs to be. I mean, we would have traded him for a 1 and a 2 yesterday. Apparently, the Cowboys and the Jets were engaged in trade talks for the Pro Bowl safety, and finally it was just too big an ask for the Jets. Hypothetically, or at least reportedly, they wanted a 1st and 2 seconds, which is just crazy. Nobody gets a 1st and 2 seconds for a safety, I don't care, even if that position's getting more and more valued by the year. But it's just a mess with the Jets. They don't know what they're doing. Joe Douglas looks like a neophyte doing this. Their head coach looks totally lost. Their quarterback is regressing. They've now bent out of shape. Their best player probably in Jamal Adams and one of their best players in Le'Veon Bell. They can't find a way to get Le'Veon Bell the ball. The whole thing is just a disaster. And finally, Alex Bregman hits a home run last night for the Astros and holds the bat so long, he handed it to his first base coach.
I just let my emotions get the best of me. It's not how I was raised to play the game. And I just let my emotions get the best of me, and I'm sorry for doing that.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. You know, what Juan Soto said was, I thought it looked cool, so I wanted to do it. If you are asking your fan base or your media to, quote, let the kids play, which was a Major League Baseball issued commercial and promotional device, if it is let the kids play, and Alex Bregman holds onto the bat until the first baseman, and if Juan Soto nearly does the same thing, and then they have to publicly apologize, then I guess we're not letting the kids play. Is it a little showmanship? Sure. It's game 6 of the World Series. Can these guys show a little emotion, or is that not okay? A little personality? I didn't mind it at all. And ultimately, look, Bregman did it, and Soto said, I'll do it better, and crush that home run into right field. No harm, no foul. If you can do it, I can do it better. To me, that's competition. And that's your sound check, your best audio of the day. Last night, Game 6 of the World Series had it all. It had an elite, brilliant starting pitching performance by Steven Strasburg. It had a future Hall of Famer on the mound in Justin Verlander. It had young players like Bregman and Soto going tit for tat, monster home runs. You had Anthony Rendon, who's an MVP candidate in the National League, coming up with monster hits. You had everything. And an organization, a Nationals team, that was on the brink and has now pushed it to a deciding game number 7, which is the coolest thing in baseball, the coolest thing in the NBA or the NHL as well. And you have all 6 games going to a road team, the first time that has ever happened in professional sports. The NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball has never had a 7-game series where the first 6 games were won by the road team. And yet, defined last night by a cluster bleep with the Trey Turner play. And you know, baseball at its best can be sublime. Nights like last night are why I still love baseball. Nights like last night are why I have a season ticket package. I still love watching the game. I love being at the game. Certainly, I love warm summer nights and having a beer and a hot dog. But I also think at its best, and October baseball is its best, is one of the most captivating sporting events possible. And yet last night is, again, the definition of how baseball can't get out of its own way. Are we letting the kids play or not? Because if we are, then Alex Bregman does not need to apologize for what he did. Are we using instant replay or not? Because the umps went to instant replay after the Trey Turner play, even though you can't reverse it or that's not a challengeable play. Are we trying to get it correct? Because it didn't seem like anybody knew what was going on last night during that controversy. And after the game, when Joe Torre is asked twice, multiple times in a row, can you clarify what the umps were looking at when they were reviewing it and why it was taking so long? Joe Torre didn't answer the question. He said, I don't know why it took so long, and never said who they were checking with and for what. This is not the way last night, this is not the way Game 6 of the World Series should be defined, but it is, because baseball just seemingly can't get out of its own way sometimes. And I think this series has been great. I know that the final scores don't indicate it. Last night it looks like it was a runaway. Last night's game was great. It was great, besides the Trey Turner play, which also is a dumb rule. Trey Turner spelled it out. Hey, I'm a right-handed hitter. When I start out of the box, I'm in fair territory. I have to get back to fair territory because that's where the bag is. But you're asking me to, in between me being in fair territory to start and ending in fair territory, to go into foul territory. Does this make sense? Trey Turner says, I start in fair territory, I run a straight line into fair territory, and I am called out, I'm penalized. Come on, baseball. Number one, dumb rule. Number two, you can't enforce it last night. You cannot do that. That cannot be Trey Turner out for not doing anything wrong. He's supposed to run a parabola on the outside of the line and then jut back in to be safe for the bag. He's not supposed to run directly to the bag. Well, I would say that's a rule problem. I would say that's a rule issue and a rule mistake. And then to kick out Davey Martinez, who has every right to be absolutely white-hot mad, to kick him out of Game 6 of the World Series is, again, a loser idea. This is the final game of their season. They have fought tooth and nail. This is a historic moment that will define their lives forever if they lose. And you're not even going to allow him to be on the bench. If that thing goes to extra innings, could you imagine Davey Martinez having to manage from the clubhouse and call it into his pitching coaches or call it into his bench coaches? It's ridiculous. I love baseball and I hate baseball. I talk about this all the time. Baseball has these moments that you go, wow. No matter what happens tonight, wouldn't you love to see the Nats and the Astros open up the season next year? Wouldn't you love to see the Yankees or the Astros open up next year? Wouldn't you love to see if Gerrit Cole signs with the Yankees, Yankees-Astros to open up the season? Oh, sorry, schedule's already out. Can't do that. Nope, had to make the schedule 3 months ago. Wouldn't you like to see these amazing potential storylines be played out and make it easier to follow? Oh, can't do that. Schedule's already out. We've got to make sure some family from Iowa had their summer road trip locked away by the previous August. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me sometimes how baseball can be so amazing and then also just shoot itself in the foot. But I guess that's where we are in sports as well, because we say this a lot about the NFL. NFL officiating and the NFL relocation and NFL in Europe and NFL everything doesn't make it easy to totally support them either. MLB had a wonderful moment last night, unfortunately defined by idiocy. When we come back on the show, Katie Linedahl is going to join us here on the show, the Gidget of Gadgets, on our Halloween spooktacular episode. What will she be dressed up as? Last year it was Sting the Wrestler, and she happened to sing Fields of Gold like Sting. What will she be this year? It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.